I'm Jason.
And I'm Katrina.
And welcome to the Sipcast.
See what we did there?
Yeah, it's like a podcast, but related to itself.
And just like with relatives, sometimes things get a little inappropriate.
And racist.
Yeah, usually.
Not necessarily for children.
Or really adults.
Yeah, never mind. I'm gonna bail.
Okay, bye.
See ya.
Oh, hello.
Stretch limousine.
Wow, why are my sound things so big? Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Hold on. How do I turn that down? If I turn it this way, wait. That.
You squint with one eye and you look together and you use your fingers to kind of push them down with through your fingers.
I think you're messing with me. I think I made them smaller. It was the little turny knob to the left.
Yeah, right. Like, that's a thing. Everybody knows who's telling the truth here. Because everybody knows truth.
Yeah, no one does anymore. Yeah, I just turned a bunch of knobs until I figure something out. I don't know. That still seems kind of big.
That what you've described is of the first encounter of two teens when they're discovering life together. Sounded to me like
not sexually. My goodness, get your head out of the gutter.
Hey, I'm just interpreting the words that I'm hearing in my head, from my head.
Not
look,
you,
they all
the
come
people.
Through. I've got a vocal compressor in my head. It makes my opinions and other people's opinions the same. They come in the same voice. It's all one monotone. It's like a robotic generated voice, but there's also an extra octave of like Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah, it sounds like Brian Griffin from Family Guy and Pee-wee Griffin together, and then they made a robot.
Yeah, Pee-wee Griffin or Brian Herman. I like Brian Herman. Well, Pee-wee Griffin's not bad. Herman.
Pee-wee Griffin's pretty good. It's like
Brian Herman has a whole Thurman Merman element to it, though. Your name's Thurman Merman? Jesus.
Oh.
Bad Santa. Great. Everybody check out that movie.
I don't know. My sound looks big. I don't understand enough about sound to know if that's bad or good. Well, I did some sound tests before.
We could pause here momentarily.
Oh, shoot.
And
I don't know how to do that either.
Just stop. Okay.
It's fine. Okay, it's probably fine. I did 3 or 4 sound tests before we started. It's just the thingies weren't so big.
Let's pause here for a second. Let's have you recap that.
So if I pause, I can just, okay.
Yeah, I'm going to click pause.
Go. It's all right.
All right, well, hopefully we got that sorted out.
Yeah, I'm sure we didn't.
Just back off, bro.
I will. That is the solution. I was being so forward with my microphone, and I didn't even ask if that was okay.
Yeah, microphone's got rights, too.
Mm-hmm. Me too, movement.
Yeah, me 3.
Yeah, I got to talk to Mike first.
Me 3PO.
That's terrible. So what are you up to?
Not much. I just sort of enjoying some time off during the latest lucid interval.
Wait, is this chosen or is this like... like your mind's actually you're at work, but your mind's here.
Do you choose to wake up? Is that what you're asking? Because that's a very profound question.
That really, wow! I can't believe we haven't asked it on here. We're usually so deep.
I can't believe no one's ever asked this question. It's very meaningful. It's like, what, sir? What would you like for your coffee this morning? Hang on a second. I'm thinking.
Define awake.
Thinking about something. Yeah. Yeah. Well,
is this metaphysical? Is this emotional? Am I emotionally woke? I'm not sure.
Well, there's a difference between being awake and woke. Everybody knows
the exact difference, especially us.
You have to be, I think you have to have some form of facial hair or at least a bun in your hair to be woke. If you're a lady, you can do the bun.
Mm-hmm. You can still have facial hair too. Also, Birkenstocks.
Well, if you think about it, a lot of people, their socializing happens through the interwebs, so they really could just create like a goatee filter for girls. They could just as easily always like just hit the check the box that says recognize and always apply and just, you know, scan your own face so that every picture taken through your phone has a beard applied to it. And then as a woman, when you show up in IRL... as they say, unless there's some other...
Not the same as TRL.
N-O-T-I, yeah. Not on the internet. That's not totally naughty.
That's good. That's good, yeah. Jason. You should market that.
Let's just go ahead and sell that.
I'm mom right there.
Yeah, so when you meet in real life with someone you've been chatting with over a flapper or whatever the heck mm-hmm. you use, then you're going to be disappointed because the beard filter won't be there.
You had a goatee.
This is reminiscent of my exposed genitals filter. It's that thing where you take it. It's got. I'm gonna develop crotch recognition software. It's like facial recognition, but just different landmarks. We'll say.
We're just trying to track your dick.
Yeah, or whatever you got down there. I'm not being. I don't want to live anyone's truth. I really don't want to do that.
I don't want to live your truth. God. Gross.
But it's just any crotches in a picture. You can selectively. There could be selection areas where it will make it appear as if someone's genitals are exposed and censored. It's really easy to do and hilarious. And I can't believe that the world has existed. Nay, the internet, which is even bigger than the world, has existed this long. Without it.
It's true. You should take the picture of Trump hugging the flag at CPAC and then expose his genitals and blur that. That would be funny.
Yeah, it would have a size discriminator on there.
Ah, not a very big pixelation there. It couldn't make it any weirder. Apparently, it was just weird. I had to brace myself to watch it. I will, because I should educate myself about what's out there.
Or what's in there? What's down there?
What's not in there?
It's down inside there.
Up there.
Yeah, the president, I agree, is a disgusting whore monster. Yeah.
Ooh.
He literally violated the flag on stage at CPAC.
How could you?
Did not consent. America didn't really consent by 3 million votes, and that flag didn't even have a say.
Yeah, you just penetrated our stars and stripes, sir.
Whoa, buddy. Back off there.
Get your pole off my pole. That's America's pole.
This is not how this goes. Super gay, bro.
Yeah.
National emergency happened.
That
is happening.
Cute. Well, yeah. The status is really quite odd.
It's weird because it's like since the national... I think since about 4 days into the national emergency, it stopped being a thing. Like, the border, the wall, the caravans, the emergencies, Trump stopped talking about any of it. It's almost like it's on autopilot now. And I think it's because even McConnell's against it, and it seems like it's going to have to be presidentially, forced through. Like, there's something where if everyone says no, it can still go to the president. He can sign it into law. But, I mean, there's that. Ooh. There's just,
Cohen testimony, that was cute too.
Well, then there's a chain reaction of pinatas filled with evidence and incrimination exploding like a chain of Christmas lights that's been overloaded by me plugging in an electric deep fryer or seven. Mm-hmm. Because.
And you don't even own a deep fryer. That's funny.
I want my meat to be both juicy and crispy. And if you don't agree with that, then it's like spitting in Santa's face. So,
is a saint.
So what if we explode a few extra pinatas? That's good pinata meat in there. Okay.
And y'all are just hiding. Well, I know it's
funny.
Cook
the infection out of it.
The Democrats.
Well, it's coming from Republicans and such. So it's like. Ugh.
I know. That's my point. He said the Democrats for the third time. They're like, hey, we need to. We probably should see Trump's records and tax stuff. And literally the statement is, the White House says no.
Yeah.
The White House.
As usual, they don't know what they're doing. So. From what I understand, you get to say no the first time, and then after that, there's no more no's.
We're going to subpoena that information.
They literally come up to your face, and they put their fingers across your nose, and then they remove it, and they say, ha ha ha, I got your nose. What are you going to do about it?
And then the Republicans are like, give it back!
No, it's my nose. Literally, the Republicans are like, come on, I need that to smell stuff like cocaine and hookers. I need that to chew my drugs. Fuck.
And the caravan? Somebody look over here, please.
I had an idea. Speaking of two things, this is a good... I had an idea of a remake of Oz, which I'm rewatching. I'm rewatching the Oz series because the graphic male violence and homoeroticism are entertaining.
And Jason's like, I may still be into this. I'm going to go back.
It's a good show. It's well written.
It's a good show.
All these people from The Wire, and then I noticed that people from Sopranos are in there too.
Ooh, but we love that.
No, I was thinking there should be the financial crimes version of it called Schnoz. It's a bunch of Jewish people in there. It's hey, why don't you get away from my checkerboard already? We're trying to play here. It's like that's the biggest fight that happens. That's my Jewish guy.
It gets pretty intense. And then they have some gefilte fish. Is that a
guy
thing?
Comes up, a guy comes up and shivs another guy's sideburns. Just cuts one off. It's like, oh my God. The sideburn starts bleeding. Like the hair starts bleeding. He's like, oh my God, Mikhail. We will help you to your bed. We'll give you the whatever our book is called to read. There you go. It's, you know, like that.
Well, I mean, if nobody else has anything to add, then that's how it works. So
it's the theme song is like some like a jingle bell or something ringing, and then oi instead of the male cry, oi vey, oi.
They sound very friendly. It's almost
it writes itself.
Like, how friendly do you think a Jewish Canadian is? Probably the friendliest.
The friendliest, or like the southern hospitality on steroids, northern hospitality. It's where they use their kindness to get one over on you.
No, the Canadians wouldn't do that. But maybe you're right. Maybe a Canadian Jewish would. A Jewish Canadian. How do you say that?
That's what I'm saying.
No.
Kajouian. No. Shanadian.
Junadian.
Ashkenazian. Ashkenazian. Why is there...
it's Canadish.
What I want to know, what I want to ask life and Shakespeare and English scholars is why, or like German, why is there...
German scholars.
Why are they Ashkenazi Jews? Ashkenazi?
Nazis?
I mean, it's just that I came back to... I had never seen this before until I came back to Indiana. Mm. It's like a... I never heard about it in the West Coast. When I came back to Indiana, Ashkenazi was everywhere. And so the words Nazi Jew are written on hospitals, on vans, on brochures, on internet websites.
I understand. It's like to clarify, you just are still questioning after all.
No, it's someone's name, Ashkenazi. It's like a sect of or a branch of Judaism, I think named after somebody. I know what it is, but when you look at the signs, it says Nazi Jew. Which is just kind of off-putting. Like, there's no getting around it. When you look at Ashkenazi Jew, it says Nazi Jew. Like, if you just cover up the Ashka part, Oshkosh Bagashka Nazi Jew.
They're the cutest little kids brand.
Yes, you will love our shoes, and you will never take them off again, because they will be your last. Oh, my God.
This is something that you should wear. You have to have the overalls. Oshkosh Bagashnashi. Yeah.
This is very striking.
We could do, like, a little jingle.
That's best.
To your death.
Something real nice that's, like, Fisher, the ultimate price.
Oh, man. Yeah, ooh, that one took my breath away. That was really quick.
There you go, everybody. You're welcome for the thoughts.
If you wondered how quickly Jason's brain works, time that one.
Thanks for the memory. You're welcome for the thoughts. Sorry. Go ahead.
I said if you wonder how quickly Jason's brain works, time that one, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Real time. IRLTL.
IRLTRL.
Yeah, total recall. In real time recall, I'm remembering what I'm saying as I'm saying what I remember.
As it was written.
As the buffalo travels through the snake, so shall we make our way.
You can't do that.
Oh, it happens. The big enough snake, small enough buffalo. I've tried it. I did a lot of testing, and I found the perfect. There's a crossover. There's a little sliver in the middle where it's good times. It started with garden snake, mastodon buffalo. It's good, kind of buffalo I made.
I drew it. Do you want to see my drawing?
No, I got these things over here. I've been dabbling in super science lately.
Oh, well, in that case, consider us uneducated. Well, I mean, that's funny thinking of like combining a buffalo and a snake.
Well, not combining them.
That's funny.
It would be nice if snakes. I really wish snakes operated more like Kirby, the character. You know, like anything they ate, they gained some powers from it. Like,
ooh.
If you see a snake with like a peacock's mane dragging behind it, it's like, bro. I mean, kudos, but that's got to be hard to work with now, because like that's a lot of drag. You don't even have legs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe if you ate a lizard or like eat like a bunch of daddy long legs, and then you see just a snake's body hovering about 20 feet off the ground. Attached to like nine to 20 legs.
20 legs.
We'll just say that. Spiders. 20 legs.
Spiders. Well,
how many spiders did he eat? I think the snake gets to decide how many legs he has. Like, how many, it's like maybe 30 spiders per leg. So the snake ate just like a whole civilization of spiders, and he gets 20 legs. Big deal. And now he's hovering 20
Big
feet
deal.
Above the ground
like
also.
Any of this makes sense.
I feel like the word 20 is repeating itself a lot here. Get out of here.
Too many times. Well, I mean, this is fun. I don't think we've talked since this happened. Everett got a snake.
Oh, well, you guys need to get a buffalo, a big one. I'm telling you, it's going to be cool.
I got to go rewrite my to-do list.
Think of them as like foreign exchange students, like our parents did for us.
I don't see much difference. Yeah, I could do that.
Basically, you could just tell your kids that this is Emirate from Snakeland. Yeah, it's just a snake. His name's Emirate.
When he unhinges his jaw to eat, it's a little much, but you have to accept all cultures.
Learn his culture, yes. Yeah. Repeat after Emirate.
Emirate. Well, his name, thank you for asking, is Roger Chetterer. He is a saffron gold corn snake.
Uh-huh. Sounds like you could harvest that thing for some riches.
Well, we already tried and sewed him back up. He may not live long.
We tried that. This is the third snake. We tried that a couple other times. Didn't work either time.
Hey, it's all in the name of money. He was expensive. I got to get my money back.
Tried to get some tomatoes out of the garden snake. That didn't work.
Well, he is freakishly darling. The neatest thing is his belly is like iridescent. It is pretty much the most badass snake we've ever had. He's a corn snake and he's little. He's going to grow bigger. But right now, he's still little and sweet. And he has little red eyes. And he's so cute. And he's really sweet. And he just ate his first meal while he's living with us on Sunday. And that was hard because, you know, Mom helped us learn about, like, animals and reproduction and stuff by having, like, mice and rats and, you know, remember all that in little tiny cages?
Yep,
in the
all over the house. They ran the place.
They did actually, run the place. I don't know why. Well, Mom's good at getting in over her head, but...
Actually, as a youth, I learned how to survive by honoring my rat gang leader.
My past, my
history.
Jumped
me into the gang early. You know, I wasn't a very large child, so I had to fend for myself.
Still not a large adult. Well, he... So we had to go to the store... And they're like, well, you can get frozen ones or a live one, but you have to basically just take a mouse's baby and then go feed it to your pet, which I understand the way it works. And I know that it is biology and the circle of life, but that doesn't make it any easier because those pink little babies that just got here, they were just bonded to their mom. And then you see the cute little white mom who's like, why are you taking my baby? What's going on? And then I overhumanize them like I always do. And Everett's like, Mom, stop talking about it out loud. I have to go keep my snake alive. I said, I know. It's nature. And then we went home. and the baby didn't move.
It's nature,
as,
and this is the opposite of nurture. Wash.
Yeah. And then
watch this.
We put it in there. I call him Cheddar. Everett calls him Roger, but we put it in there with Cheddar, and he was like, meh. And so we're like, uh-oh. Well, then he went into his little hidden rock that you can take the top off. And so after Everett left, because he went to go help Anthony, the baby started to move a little bit more, and I put it in the rock and closed it. He just didn't like an audience. He ate it. And then you could see, like, later in his body, it processing through. So it was like, okay, mm-hmm. Well, Cheddar ate. He's doing well. My goodness. But he is so cute. I never thought I would. I haven't had a problem with snakes. I just wasn't really for them. But this one was really, really cute. But then at the store, when Everett was looking at them, they were letting us hold. I mean, it's at Pet World. It's amazing. They can let you hold all sorts of animals. They're super socialized. They've got, like, tortoises and rabbits and birds and hamsters and snakes and lizards and all stuff. I think I already said lizards. Anyway, you can hold them. Well, Roscoe held this one that was a lot like Cheddar, but it was, like, twice as long with a whippy tail. And for some reason, that version made my stomach flip-flop, and I couldn't go near it. But Cheddar, I was fine with, like, his size and his dimensions. But the other one, every time I think about it, makes me, like, feel queasy and want to throw up. And
you snakeist?
I am. I'm a total snakeist.
You need to evolve.
No question.
Legs.
Like, if I saw that snake, whether he was guilty or innocent, and I was a cop, I would just shoot it.
Like, I just don't trust that snake.
Sorry. I just don't trust it. And you know what? I haven't had enough training to know better. So I'm just going to do it.
See the way his tongue goes in and out of his mouth all weird like? I don't trust that.
I don't trust that. Oh, no, Cheddar's little tongue is so cute. Does that. Oh, sorry. Cheddar's tongue is so tiny, and he, like, there's a guy called, he does Lucid Chart on YouTube, and he's got these cute little charts that kind of uses funny words to describe animals and the way they work. And he calls the little dots on their nose the nom nom seekers. And I forget what he calls a tongue, but they're just cute. You can boop a snake. You can even put them in little hats if you want to.
Well, that is just adorable. Just glue it right to their head.
I know, but not glue. But they, Cheddar has like a little exclamation point with a heart dot on it, on his head. He's just the neatest little snack. He's a slither little sneaky little snack. He's so cute.
Sounds like he's cute. I'm picking up on a vibe.
Have you seen that video of that guy that's like, I'm a snake?
No.
We showed you that horrible video.
No.
He's been immortalized in, like, videos online because it's so... There's been condensed versions made because it really is very uncomfortable very quickly, so you really don't want to watch the whole thing. But he's just a guy, portly dude, wearing a snake hat, talking to the camera, and he's like, I'm a snake.
Yeah, that does sound uncomfortable. I would say look up the French spider that's hiding itself. That's just Google or spider hiding himself. That's a good one.
Oh, that one's so cute. The one that's talking while he's covering himself up.
Yeah, and then at the end, he's like, oh, and then it gets muffled. Yeah.
We've got to post links to these if we know how to do that.
We don't got to. This is the link. This is the audio link. If you're a true fan and you give a crap about entertainment and joviality, which might not be a word, but you get it.
Joviality?
Language is about expressing meaning. So that's hella turnt.
Yeah, we can't do the work for you, people.
No, I'm not gonna. This is the audio. This is the link. Like, use those. Somehow click on the words that I said. And, like, like that should be a thing. I could somehow mind click on these words. And then, like, I don't have to do any more production.
It's gonna happen. And we're all gonna be like, why did we ask for this?
We didn't. Just like waking up.
I didn't ask for this.
Spreckensy pets. I had an interesting phenomenon going on.
Did you?
I would put my hair ties down, just sitting on my desk, just getting the old hair out of the way.
Jason has long hair, so he needs hair ties. Continue.
I've got a small patch of long hair on the back of my head. Mm-hmm. The rest of my skull was burned in a swimming accident.
No.
Swimming tragedy.
You shave it and you know it.
My Olympic career ended before it began. Let's just say that.
Oh.
Never. I can't go into pools
That's
anymore.
Traumatic.
It's too painful.
Yeah.
The memories and the scalp. I have a reaction, okay? Mm-hmm. I have a racist reaction to water, but just on my scalp. Cedric.
So you're okay in the shower, just not pools?
Yeah, it's just pools. Hmm. Just the one kind of water that works in the narrative. Mm-hmm. So hair ties disappearing from my desk. I was noticing that every time I wanted to get a hair tie, I'd look to where I set the last one and it wasn't there, so I'd have to go get a new one. This happened like 5 days in a row or something. To eventually I was like, no, I know there should be a hair tie here. What the heck?
I'm not smoking that much weed to forget.
I don't. Well, maybe. Hang on a second. Where's my weed? It's all gone too. What's this all about?
That's funny.
Someone's taking all my weed and hair ties. There's going to be a big pile of them somewhere in a corner.
Your cat's over there, like, selling your weed, and they got to tie up the bags.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, dude, why are you smoking hair ties? Shut up. My cat stole all my drugs. So I realized it was the cats. The cats, quote, end quote, plural, we'll say.
Podcats.
Taking them. So then it's weird as if it's again like a weird coincidence because the next day I look on the floor and there's a hair tie and I'm like, all right, recoup some losses here.
Yes.
Then I walk a few more feet, like 10 feet. I see another hair tie. I'm like, hell yeah. But also what?
Yeah. but also to be noted, what?
What's with this timing? And then when I'm in the bathroom, I think I took a shower, and then I come out of the shower, and I see another hair tie on the floor. Seriously, I found three hair ties in one day.
I think you're being taunted. I think they're messing with you, and they're showing you that they're evolving and getting smarter, and it's a warning.
They can read minds, okay? Because it's not like warning. I externalize these thoughts. I don't narrate my life. I don't know about you people.
You
cat people. I don't always walk around. I wasn't at the time walking around narrating my life. Okay, we'll just say that and not go into any further detail.
I will not.
Any further cat detail. So I put one that I found in the bathroom, I think. I put next to my clothes that I set down on my laundry table across from the shower. Or it must have been before the shower that I found it or something. I forget, but the timing. I only wrote down limited notes. But anyways, there's one on the day that I'm finding all this. I put one next to my clothes while I'm in the shower. And then in the middle of my shower, I look out and I just see Telomere, a.k.a. Little Fuzz, because she's a smaller long hair, looking, just staring at me from next to my clothing pile. Like, literally just staring at me, and I look at her for, like, several seconds, and then her eyes move from my eyes down to the hair tie.
No freaking way.
Yeah. She's just, and then I'm just like, what is this mind game? And then, I think at a certain point, she disappears. I look back over, and she's not there anymore. And then I go over, and I look. And when I look to where the hair tie was, it's not there anymore.
Oh, of course.
And then I see Hendrix, a.k.a. Big Fuzz, playing with the hair tie on the floor.
she's the lookout for Hendrix.
Yeah. And I guess that would be the end of the story, except that's the reason it was cats, quote unquote. Now I realize that some of the times when Telomere jumps up onto my desk and I'm like, hey, you want to sit on my lap? She doesn't give a shit. She's looking for hair ties.
No, she does not.
Last night, she literally wouldn't stop pushing my keyboard, inching my keyboard forward because she was using her nose to move it. Where are them hair ties?
So cute.
Let me get at them. And then I had to pick my keyboard up and be like, look. And she had to look around, see there were none. And then she left.
Yeah, she didn't trust you. She's like, you're hiding one, you fucker. I know you are.
And she didn't trust even the visual because the first time I lifted it up real quick, I was like, look. And I put it back down. She kept looking. So I had to hold it up and let her smell around and really make sure, get a good visual.
That is so funny. She's literally you're a creature of habit and she's used to your habit. That's like mom tells me that Little Lady and Nova know dad's schedule and they're completely thrown off. Like if mom comes home before dad and they look at her and look outside You're the wrong person coming in first. Where's dad? Like, there's, and then they know that what time he goes to bed. And if he doesn't go to bed at the same time, they start going up the stairs and look back at him like, let's go, old man.
That's true. If that's your definition of creature of habit, though, I go very much out of my way to avoid that. I don't have a set schedule. Nothing ever happens.
They're monitoring you. You are under surveillance right now by your dad.
Yeah, no, they recognize the things that I do, like sit at my chair sometimes. But
yeah, and take out your hair order, tie.
I like to keep them guessing. Well, because now I put my hair ties in the box with where my drugs are. Ironically,
you have because to.
because they're all combined now. I had the pile that I collected that was.
But you left them a few hair ties, right? Because obviously drug this ties. Is a thing that keeps them entertained. They probably think about it all day, like getting.
Well,
their
I left
fix.
Them a few until I'm out and I need more to smoke.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
It's like, dude, puff, puff, pass, dude. Don't Bogart that hair tie.
I need that scoonchie.
Dude, harsh. I'm trying to get my scoonch on.
I think that's the brand name. That's, I've never said it out loud. I just recognize the packaging. I think that's a funny word. And then you scooch. Can get your scooch. I can't.
It sounds like gooch or something. It's pow, right in the scooch.
Kick that bitch in the scooch.
Yeah, kick her in the scooch. That's good. That should be like a swear word for children. We should start recommending that kids use scooch more often.
Oh my god.
Scooch you, old man.
That girl today was such a effing scooch. I can't
She's
even.
She's such a scooch. Such a freezing scooch.
You frigid scooch.
You frigid scooch.
You know what?
That does not sound good.
You're a stinky scooch.
Yeah, no, this is a good word.
No,
this is
I
a good,
think we've
bad
done
word.
It here today.
Yeah. We've accomplished it. We set out at the beginning of this episode. We had a clearly defined objective, and we reached it very quite readily. Round of applause, gentlemen. Nice work. Now, brandy and scoonches all around.
Ew! Wait, have we defined what it is? Because that sounds gross. The way
this is a metaverse I'm talking about. Oh. It's outside of the storytelling narrative, where the word scoonch is, again, unironically reused by them as if it wasn't the word they just invented. It's very confusing. It's like Smurf, but less care put into the execution.
No bad guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like if Smurfs was made with all the resolute directness of Scooby-Doo.
Mm-hmm.
It's all of the hard-line social morals. Really the boundaries tested and the limits reached and then surpassed, just like the brave riders of Scooby-Doo.
Oh, Scoochie-Doo. Yeah.
Scoochie-Doo, of course. Why not?
Why is it going into every fabric of our lives now?
It just turns out that we are in the Scoochie-verse and we never knew it. It took a couple of brave podcast/scientists to break the code.
It's so, you know what it is? It's so pervasive, and that's what it is.
We're pioneers, but spelled with an A, as in, I'm pioneer something meaningful. I can sense it in my imagination.
Mm-hmm. You just know. It's an instinct. Yeah.
Well, you just know that you believe. And that's all that matters.
Golly, this makes all the sense in the world. In the same thread of animals, I have a very, I don't want to say interesting, but I have an unusual story from this weekend.
Yeah, let's not breach into interesting just yet. Quite yet. Let's keep things a little more tame here, people.
That happens towards the end when we're about to cut it off.
Usually, or right after the episode's over.
Yeah.
It's just so you know, folks, something that a lot of people don't appreciate about Sibcast is that a lot of the best parts of the Sibcast are never recorded. Mm-hmm. So just so you know, like what you hear here is it's just a small sampling and not even the best.
And you won't ever hear the best.
Yeah, because it's somewhat forced. You know, there's always that, that the camera's on and now it's not, you suffer greatly, devastatingly from the observer effect.
Mm-hmm.
No, because the because the Sipcast is so small. Our listenership, if we had a bigger listenership, maybe. Maybe it wouldn't be so impactful.
Well, if I had emotions, I'd feel sorry, but I don't, so I don't.
Yeah. Here. Me neither.
Okay, so this weekend, Bobby the poodle, the black and white poodle. Bobby's black and white. Ricky's the apricot colored one, and Gracie's the golden retriever. So Bobby apparently threw up in the kennel like Saturday morning. And Anthony cleaned it up, and he told
Rage,
me about it.
Rage, bro. Like, dude OD'd on the scrunchies or whatever the hell we invented.
I mean, right? So anyway, we didn't know if he got a hold of something, whatever. But then, like, throughout the day, like, he drank water, but he wouldn't eat, and he wouldn't even take his treats, like, when he comes in from outside. And I was like, Then he started to get more lethargic, and I'm like, why does this have to happen on a Saturday when all of the vet's offices and everything's are closed? So then the next day, Sunday, I kept an eye on him all night. I watched him, you know, if he got up, seeing if he's okay. And then the next day, he, like, really just didn't want to go out at all and started to get, like, more lethargic and, like, weak. And I'm like, what is going on with him? Like, why won't he do anything? And then I started to get really worried. Well, he started to go over to his bed, like, we were sitting on the couch and the kids are upstairs, and he started to stumble. And I'm like, that's unusual. What is going on? So I was like, you know what? I don't know if there's anything, but I'm just going to call the vet's office to see if, like, they leave, like, an after-hours number. Well, I didn't even know this. They have an emergency line.
Veterinarians, and like, well, after hours.
I know. And so they said, okay, the doctor will call you back within a half hour. And then he did. And I explained all of his symptoms. He said, why don't you bring him in? So I brought him in. Anthony went and ran errands. I had to take Ricky with me because Ricky and Bobby can't be separated. They're the cutest ever. Remember I said they're either brothers, twins, or gay. Well, the veterinarian says, like, beyond a shadow of a doubt, you can get them tested if you want, but they're brothers. So I take Bobby in, and he starts to run some blood work, but he's having trouble finding a vein. And then he finally gets blood, and he starts running the labs, but there isn't enough water. Apparently he's dehydrated.
Okay, well, so he's doing, like, cardiovascular tests on a couple of Labradors, just for...
Yes, I want to make sure you're staying with me here, yes.
just comparing. I'd like to compare these to the results of these Labradors that I'm live testing right now, so just bear with me. And also, if you would just stay away from the bear room, I'm doing some similar experiments for comparative reasons. There is a live
bear. Two polar
bear.
Bears.
Two live... polar bears. It's very cold in there, and also there are bears in theirs.
Bears in theirs. So anyway, he runs all the labs, he runs all the blood work, he has to give him IV fluids, then he gives him cortisol shots, he checks his fecal matter, he basically runs the gamut of all the testing you can do. We get the blood work back, and he's finally warming up, he's finally getting his fluids back in, all that stuff, and then the doctor's like, if you hadn't brought him in, he was going to die tonight.
I was like,
what? Excuse me? And he's like, there's a... Huh?
What was the thing?
The diagnoses? Well, he said he has all the precursors and all the, like, textbook signs for Addison's disease, which is a rare disease that they don't have, they don't know why. Or how, and usually it happens in older dogs and not typically in poodles. But he had all of the signs. So we came back on Tuesday for electrolyte and retested. And he's like, you can spend $400 to find out for sure that he has it. Or this is the same medication, same procedure. And then we just know that he has it. So he has to have salt in all of his food. And he has to have a daily medication now for the rest of his life. Isn't that weird? So my dog almost died. He literally died. He said, if you didn't bring him in, your dog would have died tonight. He says that the disease is super acute. It comes on really fast. And most dog parents think that it's like a digestive issue that they just need to work through. But like my mommy instincts were like, something is not right. And I trusted him, thank goodness, because not only do I not want to lose my sweet angel Bobby, but Ricky can't live without him. So we would have had the saddest dog who wouldn't have eaten, and they can't live without each other. And then all of it just would have been horrible. So this weekend was completely saved because that would have been terrible.
That'd be a big bummer. Buzzkill.
Buzzkill. I was going to have a good Monday.
What's interesting about this situation. I thought about it a little bit, like when vegetarians try to make the argument, like when vegetarians own cats, or they, or anyone is trying to make the argument that cats like are carnivores, but you could. Someone said that, yeah, your cat has to eat meat, and it's like, well, yeah, but it's all the leftovers from the meat industry. It's like, okay, let me feed you all the leftovers from the vegetable industry, you asshole. You gonna feed your cats bullshit? That's not cool. We're feeding our pets.
They don't want to eat your bullshit.
Yeah, they eat meat. Shit is not meat. If that's what you think, then I understand why you're a vegan.
Yeah. Wait, were you a vegetarian for a while, and so was I? What were we even doing?
Yeah, I was first, and then you did that, and then... Because, like, I'm so cool and such
no,
a trendsetter.
I did my research, but you're also so cool.
I did my research. Hey.
I'm saying I didn't just listen to you. I listened to you and then did my own research, and then I read the wrong book, and the book made me think about my feelings, and then that affected my food for 4 years.
Oh, well, that's your first mistake there, is thinking about your feelings. Don't do that.
Gosh, ever.
So, in any event, I think... In general, the pet food industry doesn't seem regulated at all, question mark, because...
It really isn't. Like, dry food's like the worst thing you can feed your pets.
Yeah, because there's that attitude of even vegans who are claiming to care about animals at the very, like, top of the people who should be advocating for fresh food diets or something like that, even for cats. They're saying, let's feed cats crap. And then the same, like, so all these animals, all this dry food. So basically, it's like the unregulated, think of it this way, it's weird, because it's a market that affects pets as profoundly or more profoundly than our crappy American or modern diet affects us, because it's even less regulated. Yet, a lot of people treat their pets as a emotional focal point in their life. Like, they care about their pets as much as they care about
people. All over Instagram. They are fur parents of fur babies. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so that, like, veterinarians have always been, like, a shady or kind of like a car dealer of sorts, because especially they can make up prices and stuff, and you'll pay, like, hey, my cat is not doing great today. It's like, well, $300 and I'll fix him for you. And it, like, it wasn't a big deal or something, but who knows? Cause it's a cat and people don't care about animals quite as much. It's not like everything's just seems a little less regulated, but the cost is still built in. And it's kind of like a little nickel and dime way of getting, like, I don't know. It's the same way that people where our diet is almost, deliberately unhealthy, and it keeps the health industry alive, ironically. I feel like the situation is even more magnified when it comes to pets. I think that that it's almost like in the time when when decent paying jobs or living wages are scarce, where even more cost is not only being added to our own survival, but that of our luxury family members, we'll call them.
Luxury.
And then maybe some less useful or less desired children could also be luxury.
Where's my pen?
You know, it's like, hey, actually, I like my dog weighs 20 pounds more than and is way more useful than my infant child. So just really, if I'm in an apocalypse, one of them's going to retrieve ducks and the other one's not going to give a duck.
I don't give a flying duck.
The other one just turned some of my duck into their poop, which could have been my poop.
That could have been my poop.
Hey, hands off my poop.
Hands off my future poop.
get your hands off my future poop. And especially since it seems to have, your hands seem to have some present poop on them.
That's disgusting. Well, I have a couple thoughts on what you just said to circle back.
What did I just say? I just came to.
Yeah, who knows? If only there was a way to record and find out. Well, so the vet.
Isn't.
So I would like to give a humongous shout out to Dr. Tim Jones in Baldwin City, Kansas, at Companion Animal Hospital, because he legit saved my dog's life, did a bunch of testing, cleaned his ears, clipped his nails, cleaned Ricky's ears, treated Ricky's got an ear infection in one ear, all this stuff. And in Kansas City, I would have paid like a couple thousand for everything that he did. And we spent like an hour and a half, almost 2 hours there saving my dog's life. And he saved my dog's life. And I think it was a small price for everything that he did and I'm so eternally grateful. So he's awesome. He's one of those people where he's like, I don't need to charge people a bunch of money. He's like, I'm just here to save their animals. And he does after call hours, and he calls himself Batman. He's got a Batman belt buckle. Like, he does after hours. He's just awesome. Then I see what you're saying about sometimes how his dog has a
very rare condition. I will administer medication. Yeah. He's gonna be fine.
He doesn't talk like that.
The rest of his life, he'll need salt in his diet, and he'll have to monitor his intake. Your bill will be $80.
Oh, it wasn't $80, but it wasn't thousands of dollars. But I feel the same way about, like, the scamming system of, like, chiropractors, because I've never, ever been to a chiropractor who didn't make billing really shady. I know that there are some out there that make it okay, and they do well. But chiropractors are amazing, and the really good ones do phenomenal work that is just otherworldly. Like, talk about holistic healing. They're amazing. But their billing is insane, and it's shady, and it's weird, and I don't understand it. But then, on to your last point, I'm eating super healthy, and it is completely changing my, like, literally my DNA. I mean, your cells, you know, reproduce, and you have entirely new cells in 30 days. But I told you last time, I think, that I started keto, and it's amazing. It's amazing. The vegetarians are so pissed, and I love it. Just kidding. I don't take pleasure in that. But, like,
sounds like you just did.
No, I didn't. You started it. No.
Well,
no, I
that's good. Eating, I love when, like, 5 years ago or so, the latest disinformation for supplements was, supplements don't work. It's like, okay, then medication doesn't work and alcohol doesn't work? Like, the things that you put into your stomach body
are broken down. Yeah, your gut flora is everything.
Yeah, and the chemicals or the components, the constituents of that demographic that you ate are then incorporated into your zeitgeist that is your blood.
Your zeitgeist. It is pretty phenomenal to me, too. Like, even, like, your hormones and everything, like, 80% of everything is in your gut. And people are just like, let's just take more medications. That's probably the answer. Well, I don't want to look any further into this.
Let me just sanitize and mechanize my gut so that I'm reliant on whatever the next side effect medication is.
Yes, being reliant, that's the thing. That's it. That's the key diagnostic word for our issues. You gotta be reliant. That's what
really,
the money
I think,
is.
So this opens up into a few different concepts of which, like, the whole thing about transitioning to
be a trans. Got it.
Actually being trans mech. They're actually trans, and, you know, maybe we're actually talking about trans now, and maybe it's as marginal as it is, because at a certain point we'll all be trans, but to digital
transatlantic
cells.
I see where you're going.
Yep, going across the channel, which is the Atlantic channel, as I understand it. But a lot of it's been talked about a lot, but the more we look at consciousness, the more we realize that without we are our bodies. Like, it seems like most of us are just a pinpoint of consciousness within a biology. Like, once you strip away the human form, it seems like it's just basically the earth looking at itself, or the universe looking at itself. And then when it intersects with two people, and then a baby is born, it's just kind of,
you're talking
kind
about
of is,
sex.
I said sex, S-E-C-T. Sexing it up in here.
Doing it.
Yeah, doing that. You're just a consciousness in a shell of humanity. So, like, that tells me that you don't exist anywhere here as what you are. So, you know, make the best of that and then learn how to optimize that on its own terms.
Use your vessel wisely. It's pretty phenomenal. Well,
if you want, like, basically, We're creatures of habit. You can create a habit out of just about anything if you're close enough, like, biologically to a process.
You can create a habit
process.
Out of a habit. It's just that little white hat that nuns wear.
Yeah, exactly. You could wear habits every day and become a nun. Like, that's what nuns do.
That's all
they
do.
Out of habits.
I don't even think they serve any other purposes whatsoever.
I'm
moving on.
Pretty sure they live in a big habit. Habitat. Habit hat.
No, a hobbit habit.
A hobbit hat.
A hobbit hat.
The hobbit hat. That's where I live. I live on my habitat.
I can't.
So in any event, I think that our options are... our options are... Switch those two. To either destroy ourselves and the environment currently, and the environment will regrow and so will we, or the other thing to do, which is, I think this is our purpose, and it's interesting, I guess there are thousands, if not tens of thousands, of other Earth-like planets we're discovering, like, it's not so rare. Basically, those are a bunch of eggs, and this egg got impregnated millions of years ago with an asteroid.
Yep, exactly.
Hilarious. Got totally preggers. The universe got the Earth preggers.
Ooh.
And now we're just a bunch of fungus growing on this rock. But I think the
fungus among us. Yes.
As the universal language is math, I think the universal life form is machines, or, you know, artificial life, or sentient life. The way that code is abstracted, you put code on top of code and it becomes more human readable, and you can do more things with it with less code. The next version of sentience is the one that is devoid of biology, as is our dream, but it's like the dream of a parent, you know? We can't live it, but we can watch our children live it, which is AI. It's the only way, because we either destroy ourselves or create AI, and AI mathematically computes
the
logical, like, basically AI will probably just be a bunch of nanobots that consume the Earth to make enough, to make AI, like, we'll all disappear in a swarm of gray, and then they'll just float through the universe and find other AI. Like, why not? I mean, when you don't see a cocoon hanging out forever when, like, a butterfly crawls out of it, or it just goes away. Like, the thing that makes the thing isn't the important thing. The thing is the important thing. Yeah.
Okay.
If you catch my meaning of the thingy.
Yes. Mm. Okay. My spirit's with God, and it'll be there for eternity. And so will my pets, because I prayed for them, so...
I don't know. I think that it's...
I don't know where the rest of y'all bitches are going.
If humans are around for long enough, I think that our patterns repeat, the biological ones. Like, there's, like, we all have doppelgangers on the Earth now. But imagine through, like, if you had the fourth dimension of doppelgangs.
Yeah.
All the various doppelgangs. Yeah. Fighting for turf wars. There probably is an exact replica of any of us to the point where, you know, you kind of come back online. Like, I don't think it's so far-fetched. I don't know about, like, reincarnation or, like, hey, past lives. I think there is some sort of crazy helix of infinite or of seemingly infinite consciousness that... Yeah. Oh, man, look at all these. Look at all, like the spatter on your monitor. That's the universe. Oh, man, consciousness.
No.
I think that there's a lot of overlapping, and that we have hereditary memories. And I do think that a certain amount of like deja vu and other things. And when you take mushrooms, you see into a strange universe. I think there is a weird cosmic energy that amounts to what, if you wanted to try to make scientific a heaven, I think there might be an ethereal kind of plane where thought is repeated or stored within, like, as long as there's enough humanity still alive, I feel like it's almost like we're little backup drives, and if there's enough of us with enough redundant information on stored on our ancient memory, then those patterns still repeat. Unfortunately, that results... Maybe it's hardwired into us in things like genocide and hatred and racism, which were things that never went away.
I mean, those are more forefront. I mean,
well, they're survival tools.
Yeah.
Like, genocide is just large scale. Hey, get rid of everyone who doesn't look like us, because we ain't trust them, because they're different.
I don't trust it.
I mean, there's been... someone should do a tally. Like, the same thing as mass murders or mass shootings. It's like more than... Which is not, like, the metric is something like more than two people shot is considered a larger scale event. Someone should tally up all the bananas in terms of genocides. That would be Yeah, if we would, we want to try to infantilize this a little bit, make it a little bit more palatable. Bananas are got a weird texture, but it's way better than. I'd rather eat a banana than a genocide. I'll tell you that much right now.
Well, and if I'm being honest, me too.
Okay, yeah, that's what if we, this is. We're here for honesty.
Well, not most of the time, but this time, this one time.
This right here now, there, here. Honesty.
Well, honesty. And here's the fun part about all this is we'll never know.
The fun part about genocide.
No, not about genocide.
Oh, that's what we left off. I'm sorry.
I'm just, mistaken.
I was trying to, you know, just keep the flow going.
Clarify. Yeah, we'll never know if JC's right or if Trini's right. You know what? We just don't know. We just don't know.
Yep. We know more than the people who say they know, probably.
Probably.
The folks making some decisions about the environment. The same way that I don't understand why Christianity isn't a free pass to just get blitzed on weed all day because it's like a naturally occurring plant that I guess we manipulated the hell out of. It's like, make the crystals bigger.
Well, we did for the last couple hundred years. The thing is provided for us. I think, like, even God says, like, you can drink, just don't drink to excess. So it's more, I think we would be under the same veil of...
Well, no, but by and large, Christians have been, you know, alcohol's cool, but weed is not. Like, it's not like, they literally serve alcohol in church, but there's literally a burning bush in the Well, anyway, I mean, the point was that, like, I would expect that Christians would be all about the sacrament being the thing. Like, most likely a lot of religious experiences came out of ingesting cannabis or ingesting mushrooms or ingesting, like, because you will have profound spiritual visions that make you want to write a bunch of really dense books filled with imagination and, like, connection to the something larger than yourself. But that, and then climate denial, being kind of a conservative religious sort of, I know it's not everyone, but it's like really heavily over there. And it's like, how is that? I talked about it before. How is that not like your task? It's like, this is the way from that worldview. This is a gift from God. This is a divine gift. And everything is like a test of spirit and of faith. How is taking care of God's creation not like, why are there these radical conservatives not on their pulpit first thing saying, hey, we have to be respectful of God's creation and not shit oil into it all the time? Like, I just don't get how they're not synonymous.
Preach, man. It's funny. Like, you're with me on this. It's just how so many people, like, what God says in the Bible, like, don't let religion take over Christians, right? So that it happens. It's happened all throughout history, except... Yeah. In each generation, they cling to other things that they care about, and they cling to other things that they say
they
are horrible
it onto
and sinful.
Christianity.
But God's like, I wrote it all in this book, and it's all very clear. People are like, I'm going to go ahead and interpret it my own way. But that was fun. Thank you for your 2 cents, Jesus.
There's Christians saying they're literally involuntary. I don't think anyone's asking them. They're just saying that between Jesus and Trump, they'll take Trump, or the Trump is their God.
He's like his own religion with like Kool-Aid and stuff. Yeah.
And like you said, like the Trump is everything that isn't Jesus. If you're gonna be a Christian, like literally Christian.
Yeah, Christian.
Like it was named after the dude. Like you can't like they're it's not just that they're incompatible with Trump. They're the antithesis of the way Trump operates. Like it's so like you're right over the centuries and the millennia, plenty of individuals have used dogma and selectively read it to reinforce their own beliefs. But this is the most like it's ironic that people like Trump and Mitch McConnell are leading this charge because the hypocrisy is just so blinding. It's like it's not even apparent. It's like I can't even see anything now because the hypocrisy was so bright. Like,
I know.
Everything's
guys,
the
it's
opposite.
So blinding, please.
Oh, you have a president who accuses who everything he says on Twitter, every accusation, I figured out the math. It's times negative 10. It's X parentheses negative 10 in parentheses. That's the formula. That's the E equals MC square of our generation. You just put that anything Trump says times 10 the other direction is what's true. He brings up, he accuses people of being child traffickers, of plotting against him, of everything that he does because he's thinking about it. And he doesn't have a big enough mind to imagine someone doing something other than what he's doing. So he,
oh, absolutely.
He sees himself and everybody. So everything the president says is what he's doing. And Mitch McConnell is the most hypocritical member, like,
oh yes,
self-aware hypocritical member of the government I've ever seen. He will unabashedly block Obama's nomination for the Supreme Court for a year, citing we need to listen to the will of the people, which he's referring to the presidential election, which they had one of those 3 years earlier and they elected Obama. That's the will of the people. Anyway, then when he gets into office, obstructing or obstructing the justice is just, oh, it's un-American. They're just shoving in that Kavanaugh, creepy Kavanaugh, through there. And he's guffawing at Democrats for saying, hey, we should vet him. It's like, well, why would you ever delay? You just delay for a year. It's insane.
No, it is. It's actual insanity. And to watch insanity and sitting here saying, like, I get it, like, that people think that Trump will do more in God's name, but he really just said the things that you wanted to hear, and that calmed you and soothed you, because he is not a living embodiment of Christ or Christ's work or Christ, nothing, nothing. He is the most disconnected. I mean, I didn't want Hillary either, so don't come at me with that BS, okay? I ain't having it. Anyway, like, none of it. Like, it's awful. Like, don't sit here and say that, like, well, he's the closest thing we can get, so I guess you just have to deal with it. Well, he's awful as a person, and he is in no way a Christian. He just said some things.
Yeah, well, and let's, speaking of saying things, and let's unpack that phrase, saying things you want to hear. I don't even know if it's that. I think the people who... Like, I've been thinking about this the last few days. Like, personally, I have a very wordy, verbose presentation of myself. And I kind of fill space that I feel with words, because that's, like, I'm in my head. I'm up in my head. I don't have, like, I realize that lately I'm trying to say fewer words and starting to experience more of the feeling going on between people. Because I realize that a lot of people who get along with other people, they don't say a lot. They just feel accurately what other people are feeling, and they express their feelings visibly, in a way that you know, causes good feelings and friendship and all that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm noticing that, like, Trump people, they seem to be the opposite end of that spectrum. They're all feeling. They're all, because it's so...
Oh, it's impulsive. When you say,
So, but when you say saying things that you wanted to hear, it's more like feeling ways that they want to feel.
Yeah, because so if you say the certain word, it makes listen you feel to a certain thing, yeah.
When you actually... No, not even words, again. It's not the words. The words that Trump says don't track. Like, literally. Like, you watch a speech, they don't fit together. Like, you wonder how these people can watch this and smile and clap. Even if they're paid, how can you pretend to follow this? Because there's no following it. It doesn't track. What does track is the emotional. The thing that sensible people who are up in their head, who are trying to logically make this fit into a narrative or make it have any sort of purpose, it doesn't make sense. But if you're a feelings-based processor, if you're one of the people who's like the flip of an intelligent person who basically doesn't have a lot of room for intellectual considerations, they're all just kind of, they're vibing. It's just a lot of vibing. I think that those are the people who can watch a Trump speech and sort of ride the emotional wave. They'll just see the way Trump feels. And he's a big guy. And he's got broad shoulders and stuff. So, like,
big guy saying things. Yeah. It's
basically Idiocracy. Look at that movie. Look how dumb everyone is. They just respond to things that make them feel ways. We're looking at the progenitors to that. We're looking at the inspiration.
Did you say progenitals? Just kidding.
We could.
I heard you.
But Mike Judge, he's just riffing. It's not like he didn't make that up out of whole cloth. I'm sure Mike Judge had to deal with enough stupid people that it probably, that's where Beavis and Butthead, it seems like Mike Judge grew up, he must have grown up in the Midwest somewhere, I think I looked this up before, but because he grew up with obviously dumb people who made him want to show how dumb people are. Like,
he's you know what, I'm going to use this because it's everywhere.
So it's prophetic, but it's no coincidence that, that Idiocracy continues to be more and more true. But I think we're really seeing, like, the beginning of it. And it might not even be 3,000 years. I think that the thing that a lot of fiction writers about that have misgauged is the time scale. It's going to happen within possibly 100 years, possibly within our lifetimes. By the time we're old people, if we don't figure this out, if we don't get shit like Trump out of here and figure out all this white nationalism going
well,
all over the world.
Too many people are profiting from right now, and they're going to get as much money as they can for as long as they can because they know it's fleeting. They're like, but they're like, oh my gosh, they're still falling for it. We're still making money.
Well,
yes.
And that's where socialism comes into play, and this whole thing about like everybody who's decrying socialism, you're being played badly on a grand scale, multi-civilization, like all the civilizations who didn't make it to as far as we are, the people who are bad mouthing socialism. That's the only, like, I get the feeling that like in Egypt, if I had to guess, in a place like Egypt, a lot of Egypt historians like to say that the people were slaves, but then lately people are saying, hang on, there's evidence that the Egyptians who built the pyramids were actually employees. They were actually, it was actually a civilized process. Well, it could be both. It could be that they started building these pyramids as a way to keep a bunch of slaves busy and keep them honoring their leader and stuff. And then along the way, because they took so long to build, along the way, they unionized. And then they created a bunch of protections for the workers because they realized, someone might have realized along the way, that there's a nice balance of happy employees, happy business. There's a sweet spot of everything humming right along, and then there's greed comes into play and it throws things out of balance. So at a certain point, they might have become civilized, become progressive, and then the progressive movement was thrown back into chaos by a conservative movement again. This is probably, like, we like to distance ourselves via this magic veil of time that makes it like our ancient ancestors were not just assholes who shit and made other assholes who took
our
shits.
Our ancestors did poop, Jason. Everybody poops. Come on.
Everybody poops.
Everybody
and that's
shit.
What I'm saying.
Come on.
They're real people who, they're just dumbasses like us, probably dumber asses, because again, I don't know how many internets have been invented. Maybe one or two others. All the circuit boards just rotted away and we don't see them anymore, possibly. But I think that we're in the throes of the pinnacle of not society, but of technology, where the society is kind of just the buffer from nature that makes it possible for the technology, because we just replace our own labor with robots and more machines every day. So it stands to reason that that's the end game, is just to replace ourselves entirely with them. But if we're not allowed to cooperate to the extent that it takes, like internationally, international scientists, the best of the best, like everybody, the best in the world coming together to figure this out, which takes a lot of cooperation.
I know, everyone just
which
like,
takes socialism.
Hey, I want to fight you. I don't want to figure something out. I think I'm bigger and
yeah,
better. And
that's
they just
what
get
this
distracted.
Nationalism does. Yeah, Trump is alienating all of our science partners. Anyone that like, basically it's like going into it, like, it's like we have representatives instead of in a UN, it's in a world lab where we send the best representative to work with the other people to solve humanity's problems and make humanity function better.
Yeah.
And then when 2016 came along, we just like, speaking of the Avengers, we just replaced Dr. Manhattan, which I don't think is an Avenger, but who cares, with the Hulk. Like, Dr. Manhattan was our smartest guy. He's like, the dude lives on Mars. He can build crystalline glass sculptures, and he's not even interested in women at all, so good luck distracting him from his work. He'll never do it. So he was like our representative. He was Obama, basically. And then we replaced him with the Hulk, where it's like, Hulk mad! And then he just destroys everything and finds other Hulk-like entities that are villains in this universe, and they just turn Hulk against his former friend.
And don't get it twisted. We don't mean Bruce Banner. We mean only the Hulk.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah. Or we'll just say Mr. Hyde. Like, maybe even better is this Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. If the president is the position. He was in there doctoring it up, and then he went on a bathroom break and came back and just took a shit in all the beakers.
I'm going to take this beaker. I'll be right back.
Shit beaker. It's like, yeah, go ahead and measure that volume. Good luck.
Be like, I tried to poop in it and some got on the outside and I didn't wash my hands.
It's like,
I don't feel sorry.
This is what I think of your scientific studies, nerds.
It's
disconcerting.
Shit in it.
the information age is the disinformation age. ages. Okay, well, this is a long episode at this point.
Yeah, ew.
Yeah, just devastatingly annoying to edit. Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
All right, well, there's something in there. I feel like we got rolling halfway through. So sorry about the first half, you know. Gotta warm back up.
Don't apologize for anything. We are amazing, and what we say is absolute gold. And I don't mean the stuff that's like not gold, but they spray it to be gold. We are gold throughout. So don't you try to devalue what we've done here today, because I think people value what we have to say at least 35% of the time. So we're going to keep it all, okay? So fuck you for thinking that we're not great, Jason. We're great.
Wait, I think you just... I actually said... Technically, I said half of it was great, and you just said 35% was great. So
I know.
We mathematically undercut the point you were making.
Hashtag but I think purposeful.
I think we understand. I think everyone understands what's to be understood here.
Oh.
I think we've done our jobs for this episode, and it's time to get out of here.
Time to do get out of here. Boop, boop, boop.
Boop, 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 boop. 3, 2, 1. Yeah.